playing the exit music. I want you to know in Seattle, Washington today, the sun is out just blessing us, smiling all to be damned. It's just beautiful outside, so we are enjoying today. And I hope everyone had a good weekend, and I hope everyone enjoyed a good 4th of July last week.
Oh, I did. I had a real nice time.
Did
you? Went to 2 barbecues that weekend. Two of them.
Uh-oh.
Yes, I did.
I know you had a good time.
Girl, I got fat.
Ain't nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
Ate well and was happy.
Mm-hmm.
That is so good.
Yeah.
And let's see what else. Well, let's bring everybody on, y'all. And oh, let me do an announcement. We will be on YouTube before the end of the month. So hey, keep your feelers on, or you know, keep up with the show. We'll be making announcements, so you'll see us on YouTube. Okay, let me bring in my co-host, Vernice.
Good evening, everyone.
And our switchboard operator and producer/producer, Chabonet.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen.
All righty. Well, I hope, well, Vernice, how was your week?
Oh, getting ready for school, as usual. Doing a lot of reading, of course. Getting all the essays and stuff taken care of.
Oh.
Other than that, it's going okay. It's going okay.
All right. Mm-hmm. And Chabonet, how was your week?
Oh, it was good, working my new job for the courts. And
yeah, how do you like it?
It's interesting, learning a lot,
mm-hmm.
seeing a lot, so it's good. It's really nice to have hands-on with different attorneys, the
yeah.
judges, and
yeah.
the procedures and process of court, so it's good.
That's good.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Thank you.
Uh-huh. Well, we are going to begin with entertainment news as usual. And, of course, our producer's here today, so she'll be bringing news of the weird. Gave Vernice a break.
Oh, yeah.
I was happy to do it. It was a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah. She did. She brought in some neat stories. And, of course, our subject matter tonight, folks, is about gambling. And we will be discussing what is gambling, what does it involve. People's addiction. We're also going to give solutions, and we're going to talk to people what's gambling like in other states. So please call in, because we'd like to know what is your state or city community dealing with all the different casinos, and how has it affected your town? Has it brought in more revenue for your town, or has it brought in more problems? That phone number is area code 646-727-2914. That's 646-727-2914, and also the chat line is open, and you can talk with the producer while we're on the air. Okay, let's start off. Well, the first news story is about LaToya Jackson.
Yes, in her new book, Starting Over, LaToya Jackson makes some shocking allegations about her ex-husband, Jack Gordon. Jackson turned against her family when she married Gordon. She claims he pimped her out, forced her to pose nude for Playboy twice. Excuse me. This has just taken my voice away. Forced her into group sex, beat her, and threatened to kill her. Jackson claims she was scared for her life. She also made shocking allegations about her late brother, Michael Jackson, that she says she now regrets. LaToya's ex-husband, Jack Gordon, died in 2005.
Mm.
Wow, she went through all of that?
Yeah, because people thought some of the things she was saying about Michael Jackson, that she was talking crazy or silly, but come to find out, there was a lot of truth to it.
There was a truth to what
she
was saying.
There was a lot of truth to what she
really?
Was saying.
Huh.
Yes, LaToya was not lying. The family just didn't want that stuff to go public.
Yeah.
But mm-hmm. she did. Now, whether she was forced by her ex-husband or upon her own accord, but I can understand why she now regrets that.
Yeah. Yeah.
But her husband, I don't know, I just have a problem. I don't remember her posing nude for Playboy. I'll have to look that up.
That's what got me. I don't remember that either. I'll have to look that up online.
But forced into group sex, you know, I'm thinking, okay, mm-hmm. wouldn't somebody have told on her? Come on now.
The way LaToya was singing and how she did her interview, I'm surprised that LaToya was subjected to that. I thought LaToya would have a stronger will than that. You know what I'm saying?
But who knows? Maybe they're getting down with a whole bunch of dope heads and crackheads, and they may not remember. They may not want to be exposed. Who knows?
That's true, because I'm thinking, you would have Jackson, why wouldn't you run your mouth?
Mm-hmm. And other Jackson news people, little brother Randy, took to Twitter to talk about an incident that happened in the 80s regarding pop icon Tina Turner. Randy claimed Tina Turner shot him after he caught her with his then girlfriend. There has been no comment from Turner, but apparently Randy couldn't hold on to his woman. Years ago, Randy's baby mama Alejandro left him and had more children with his older brother Jermaine. Oh, that girl is. Mm-hmm. Every time I hear that, it just irks me.
I don't believe Tina Turner shot him. That would have made news.
Yeah, it would have.
Come on.
Uh-huh.
You're lying now. Mm-hmm. You know, everybody's grasping for straws because they are broke.
Right.
And to put someone else down, to build yourself up to make
mm-hmm.
some money, I don't like that.
That's a low self-esteem individual.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right on.
Mm-hmm.
But I just don't like that. Don't.
Yeah, don't do that. That's rude.
No, get a job. Get
yes.
out there. Jack in the Box is constantly
yes.
looking for more people.
Every day. One of Bishop Eddie Long's accusers has been arrested. 24-year-old Jamal Paris was one of the four young men who accused Bishop Long of sexual misconduct. The four men got a private apology and a $25 million payout that they split. Paris was driving a brand new white BMW that had no tags. Police noticed the missing tags and stopped the car. Well, dummy, come on now.
Wow.
Don't you know how to put some tags on your car?
Hmm.
They smelled the marijuana and arrested him. Police also found $1,200 in cash and a handgun. Paris was arrested in Florida and released. Well, that was crazy of him.
Wow. He's still traumatized.
Yeah, I guess.
He's still traumatized.
Well, Jennifer Lopez will return to American Idol. Maybe he can get on American Idol, y'all. You know,
I have a dream.
Yeah. The idol judge says he hasn't made a decision to return yet. We shouldn't be making fun of Jennifer because Jennifer's all right. She's all
no,
right.
I wasn't talking about Jennifer or
yeah.
the other guy. Go ahead.
The other judges, Randy Jackson and Steven Tyler, have already signed on for a new season. The NFL lockout is expected to be over soon, and a lot of players are going to be relieved because they need the money.
I know they do.
Yes. Former Eagle Terrell Owens is having money issues, and his baby mama is taking him to court. Owens says he can't make the payments and is disappointed that she doesn't understand this. He feels she didn't need to take him to court and embarrass him knowing he has money issues.
Okay, producer, jump on that.
Wait, this is concerning his baby's mama?
Mm-hmm.
And he can't pay his child support because right now the NFL is on a lockout.
No, he still has to have some source of income to even survive, and the courts is not going to hear that anyway. He's had endorsements. He sponsored
mm-hmm.
stuff. He has money.
So that's outside of what the NFL is doing. Yeah,
yeah. That has his now. The bulk of his money, of course, is coming from the NFL. And even though that's locked down,
mm-hmm.
that still doesn't matter. You have money in the bank. Find
mm-hmm.
one way or the other. If you got people who are not athletes forced to pay
that's
forced
true.
To pay child support,
mm-hmm.
he's no different. If anything, he's worse.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because he's got money and just won't do it.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I don't understand that. When you out there making millions of dollars, I don't care if they lock out for 12 months. You should have had some money put to the side. You got a child.
He should have had money given her at the first of the month. What is this, the 8th? What's the date?
Well, I don't know when. It might have started a few months back. Yeah, I don't know, but...
The hit NBC show The Voice is returning for a new season next year, right after the Super Bowl. Season 2 will kick off right after the game with Judge Christina Aguilera, CeeLo Green, Adam Levine, and country star Blake Shelton. Well, that's all I have. Well, you want me to, let me see. I think I got a couple. Yeah, I do. Okay, and Spike Lee has been devoting a lot of time to documentaries and similar projects. In a recent interview, Spike talked about why he isn't doing movies. He says he is not feeling the love of Hollywood's money, man. He says he can't get the funding for the projects he wants to do, including movies about James Brown and baseball legend Jackie Robinson. Spike should take a page out of the Tyler Perry's handbook.
Hello.
Fund your own movies, okay? That's what homeboy said. Now fund your own movies. Kobe Bryant has been trying to keep a low profile during the offseason and the NBA lockout, but his sloppy cheating keeps getting in the way. He did it again, y'all. He did it again. Bryant is currently being sued by a Ohio prostitute. She claims that she has been seeing him for years, and he promised to buy her a ring. Uh-oh. Where's Bryant's wife, Vanessa? You may ask why she's playing the role of the quiet wife who will do anything for the right amount of diamonds and money.
Yeah, let's talk about this Kobe thing.
Ooh, that's wild.
Have you heard anything? I forgot to mention this of Coach Jordan today.
No, I haven't heard anything about it.
I haven't either.
Mm-hmm.
So he was caught up with another woman?
An Ohio prostitute. Mm. She claims that she has been seeing him for years.
And see, again, sloppy cheating.
Mm-hmm.
Sloppy cheating. Yep. She's getting in the way.
Yep. That's because they got money. They think they can get away with it, you know.
Oh, well, learn to keep your pants.
Hey. Yeah, well, he's trying to keep this on the down low because the woman stated she's been seeing him for years.
See?
So
the cat's out the bag.
I want to back up to Spike Lee because... this needs to be said.
Okay.
You can say a lot of things about Tyler Perry, but he doesn't ask anyone for anything. He does his movies and projects himself.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, Spike Lee and Tyler Perry have been having this little
tit for tat
feud. Yeah, going back and forth.
Oh, okay.
He finds Spike Lee's movies, Tyler Perry's movie, embarrassing to black folks. But I will say this, he does keep black folks working.
He sure does.
He keeps them employed. So why does he feel
that he's insulting black people? I don't understand.
Because he thinks it's buffoonery. He thinks we are past that point that we don't need to show ourselves in that manner.
Oh, wow.
That we could be more classy or whatever, updated. But
well, we
in
can
his
be
serious
classy.
Movies, he has shown that dramatically.
Yeah.
But in the comedic, well, yeah, I mean, I don't agree with all the things about his show, but I have to admit, right now he's the only one in Hollywood that's keeping a lot of black folks employed, keeping them working. So Spike Lee can't even say that.
Right. That's right.
But anyway, well, Jamie Foxx is notoriously quiet about his private life. Baby mamas and side Johns are kept hidden and quiet, but now he's stepping out publicly with his latest love, model Brittany Lauren. Y'all need to check old girl out. She's a pretty thing.
Yes, she is.
She's a pretty little thing. I was like, okay. I heard he got a son, though. He's got a newborn son. I don't even think the boy's 2 years old. Jamie, I want to talk about that because you know he got his daughter. I think she's, 14 or 15, Shaw?
Mm-hmm.
I think so.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she's up there. Well, it's been 6 months since Tina Marie died, and a lot of people have been wondering about her 19-year-old daughter, Aaliyah Rose. Rose says it's been difficult because her mother was her guardian angel, of course. Rose says she has seen a therapist and she is working on an album. Rose goes by the name Rose LaBue.
Okay.
see what else is going on here. Well, look at here. Soul Train is coming to the Smithsonian Institute. What an honor. That's in Washington, D.C. If you folks are listening, audience, ever get a chance, I tell you, that's a place that you want to go to see a lot of your nation's history. Artifacts from the popular TV show will be on display at the Institute later this year. Mm-hmm. Okay, American Idol is coming to the All-Star Game. The 82nd Annual Major League Baseball All-Star Game is July 12th, and former Idol winner Jordan Sparks will be singing the national anthem.
Ooh, cool.
Johnny Gill says he's ready to come out of retirement, y'all. I love that young man's voice.
Mm-hmm.
When he used to be with New Edition,
mm-hmm.
he always had that churchy voice to
mm-hmm.
me.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, Johnny Gill is 45. Can you believe that?
Wow.
Says his new CD is coming out this fall, The Project in the Mood. It's being produced by Terry Lewis.
Mm.
Okay. Hope he does well on that.
Mm-hmm.
Wishing the best.
Well, that's all I have
on. Okay, and get ready for another season of the Braxtons, More Drama, More.com. Filming is underway with Toni and her sisters for a second season. The Braxtons have proved to be a runaway hit for the WE Network. Yeah, because you're acting ghetto.
Mm-hmm.
Including Standout Tamar with her .com. She is hilarious. Yeah, now you talk about buffoonery or embarrassing us. You've ever seen that show, it don't take
yeah.
but 5 minutes and you turn it off.
It's,
wow.
It's disturbing.
Huh?
It's disturbing.
Well, it is. I mean, you're sisters, and this is how you get along? I mean, come on.
That's crazy.
I mean, I know it's always one that may act a little naughty, but come on, y'all got to have some sense.
Mm-hmm.
You would think.
She's trying to make money. You know the girl done broke and had to go into bankruptcy and sell two homes.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Hope she make enough money splitting it with her sisters.
Well, maybe that's why they doing the show, get some extra change.
Bling, bling. But
so
anyway.
What is she trying to do, make money off of Toni?
Probably.
Okay. Because I didn't understand why she was doing that in the first place. It's like, wait a minute, haven't you got
Well, Toni needed money
own?
Anyway, but she probably
well,
decided
yeah.
to do the family thing. She have to give a cut to her sisters.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I go well.
Mm.
Okay. Chabonet, got anything on News of the Weird?
Yeah, I'm going to run through these stories pretty quickly.
Okay.
We got Todd Whitehurst, maybe the father of from 40 to 60 children, based on statistically probability that recognizes his virtuosity as a sperm donor, according to a June New York profile. Whitehurst, who like the others was selected based on his sperm's profile and speed, donated weekly for about 3 years in the late 1980s for $50 a session, and has been contacted so far by 9 teenagers who sent him their photos after piecing together evidence identifying him despite Spermbank's promises of confidentiality. Whitehurst, acknowledging the resemblance to his offspring, seems to find the relationships fulfilling, however limited they are. Said he, "I love Father's Day."
Damn.
That's
he ain't taking care of none of them.
Oh.
Mm-mm. Hey, that was all by sperm.
Yeah.
I mean, don't, you know, what is that? God dang it. What is it when a woman...
Sperm donor.
No, artificially inseminates herself.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Bank of America had the tables turned on them in June after the company wrongfully harassed an alleged Morgan scuffle in Naples, Florida. BA, Bank of America, had attempted to foreclose on homeowners Warren and Marion last year, even though the couple had bought their house with cash paid directly to BA. It took BA a year and a half to understand its mistake. That is, until Warren and Maureen sued and won a judgment for expenses of $2,500,
mm-hmm.
which BA promptly ignored. The Warren and Maureen's attorney obtained a seizure order, and two sheriff deputies with a moving truck arrived at the local BA branch on June 3rd to load $2,500 worth of furniture and computer equipment from the bank offices.
Oh.
After about an hour on the phone with higher-ups, the local BA manager issued a check for
$2,534. Hey,
oh-ho.
Either
Thumbs
way, I'm going to get my money, okay?
Hello.
Good. It's good.
That
you
is...
turn it on the man for once. Good job.
All right, that is
you,
good.
That's how you
hey,
do it.
High five
One
you.
Way. I'm going to get it, baby. Hey.
There you go. Alleged gang members Barbara Leaf, age 45, and Mark Benes, 19, were arrested in Florida in April and charged in the assault and stabbing of four deaf people. Lee was at the Ocean's 11 Lounge one evening when she saw several people in a group make hand signs that she interpreted as disrespecting her own gang signs.
Uh-oh.
And according to police, left to recruit Imbinez to come administer retribution. Unknown to Lee or Imbinez, the group were deaf people using sign language and had no idea they were making gang signs.
Oh, wow.
Damn. How stupid could she be, though?
Oh, Lord.
Okay, you see a group of people, wouldn't common sense tell you they must be deaf? As they ain't over there like, yeah, man.
Well,
doing all that
either
kind of stuff,
that
I would think
they
that they're deaf.
Or they have never seen even a little bit of what sign language is.
That'd be, I mean, somebody.
You know, she probably did not
it.
Know what sign language looked like.
Well, damn, what school did she go to?
Yeah.
Well, on to a couple other funny stories. A 93-year-old woman was rescued by medics in Philadelphia in April after spending several days stuck in her own toilet. According to KYWTV, she had to be carried out with a portion of the toilet still stuck tightly to her body.
Oh, my God.
In Tooting, England, in May, an unnamed senior was rescued by firefighters after he got his testicles caught in a shower seat in which he was sitting while bathing.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Dang. Talking about hang low. Swing low.
Partridge Medical Center in Chattanooga, Tennessee, apologized and paid the bill in June for exhuming the body of the recently deceased, Kenneth Manis. The man who had shared Mr. Manis's hospital room during his final days had reported that his dentures were missing, and the hospital determined that they had mistakenly buried it with Mr. Manis.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes. Very, very sad.
You have a caller online, Shaz?
Yes, and I'm on my last story right now.
Oh, no. That's okay. Just bring the caller on. He'll hold.
Oh, boy. Thanks. Thank you for calling Talk to Me. Can you hear us?
Hello? He's on. He's probably listening to the internet. But anyway,
go ahead,
honey.
Thank you for calling Talk to Me. Are you on the line?
Yes, I am.
There you go.
Okay,
right.
Trump. Okay, go ahead, Shaz.
All right, and one more story.
Okay.
In April, Matthew Huddleston, 33, pleaded guilty in Mobile, Alabama, to robbing a Regions Bank using a hold-up note that mentioned a gun. He got away but was arrested after he returned a few minutes later to ask for the hold-up note back.
Ain't that something?
Well, that's fast, stupid.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yep. That
so, oh, wait, one
yet.
More, and talked about God. This is titled Undignified Deaths, the Good Lord Willing.
Okay.
Mr. Ebel's Gutierrez, 53, died of a heart attack in Texas in June after taking a break during the act of raping a 77-year-old woman. He told his victim he didn't feel well, moved away from her, and stopped breathing.
Oh, my gosh.
Sometimes justice
it just happens
happen.
That way. Mm-hmm.
Whoa.
Yes.
Whoa.
And that's the last story.
And I want to thank you for the news of the weird, as always, Ms. Producer.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And if the callers would like to call in, the number is 646-727-2914. Again, that number is 646-727-2914. And the topic tonight is gambling.
Yes, and we're going to start this off with Vernice is going to read a little background on gambling, and then we're going to bring Trumps in, and we're going to start our discussion.
Okay. Casino gambling is one of the fastest-growing forms of entertainment. Casinos are opening up all over the world. Before you gamble, you should have a basic knowledge of how to play and where are the basics for the most popular casino games. The world of casinos can be confusing, but new players can get comfortable before they ever head inside the casino by following the park. How to navigate the casino and what to expect are important things to know before you go. The casinos offer a wide variety of table games. Some are classic games that have been around for years, while others are recently added to the casino floor. Here are the rules of and how to play the most of the table games you will need. Wow, how to play? What is that? Baccarat? How to play Caribbean Stud? All kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And then race books are the areas of the casinos where you can bet horse races at. In Nevada, where sports betting is legal, is this is where, as well, good handicappers can make money betting on the horses, races, and sporting events as they know how. That's crazy.
That's well, crazy. We got Trump's on the line. Remember, he's from Indianapolis back there. He's at the Kentucky Derby, so mm-hmm. I'm sure he has something to say.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
All right,
gambling. It's a big industry. You think of the number of people who are employed by casinos.
Yeah.
Chefs, you know, entertainers, pit crews. You know, that's because the hotels, you know, it's a big business. So
mm-hmm.
It should be legalized.
You think it should be legal? Well, I guess it is because it's not only on the Indian reservation, but it's also in communities now as well.
Yeah, it is.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a good source of revenue, too, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
In mm-hmm. Kentucky, horse racing is the only legalized gambling.
Mm-hmm.
Thing yeah. is, it moves from track to track. For example, the spring meet will end in Louisville on the 4th of July weekend, and then those jobs go to Lexington, Kentucky, where they have Keeneland. And it kind of floats around the state between Louisville, Lexington, Henderson and the Cincinnati area. So,
oh, okay.
Horse racing is very big, and they do everything they can to keep casino gambling out. But Indiana profits from it because the casinos are right outside Chicago, right outside Louisville, and right outside of Cincinnati.
Mm-hmm.
So they're taking a closer look at legalizing gambling in the state of Kentucky because
mm-hmm.
of the revenues that it's losing to casino gambling. So I think as a state, they're beginning to wake up and smell the coffee, so to speak, that there's big money
yeah.
in
okay.
cities and there's employment in gambling.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
In Indianapolis, they have what's called P-shake houses, which reverts back to the old days when they used to kind of like have number runners.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
You go to what's called a P-shake house. It's the poor man's lottery. Every 3 or 4 hours, they have what's called a P-shake, and that's when someone rolls the dice out on the table, and that's the number for that hour. So there's actually more chances of hitting the poor man's lottery than there is the state lottery. And then you can play for as little as a nickel all the way
mm-hmm.
up to the sky's the limit, you know, depending on how you feel about your number.
Oh, okay.
Even the dream books are sold in Indianapolis, you know, because at one time the P-shakes were operated by the by the white man.
Mm-hmm.
And as Indianapolis grew larger and blacker, they sold the downtown P-shake houses to black entrepreneurs. So now it's pretty much a black man's lottery. And
mm-hmm.
you can call a number and find out what the number is for that hour, or you can drive by the P-shake house and see what the number is. I was in the P-Shake house some years ago. A fella walked out of there with $25,000 in a brown paper bag.
Wow.
I mean, there's an upside to gambling, and, you know, there's an addictive side to it, too.
Mm-hmm.
However,
mm-hmm.
I think the upside outweighs the addictive, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone who gambles is an addictive to it. Some people don't know when to stop.
Right.
And in Indiana, what they've done is, in order for a casino to have a gambling permit, X number of dollars or a certain percentage of their revenues has to go into gambling anonymous type programs.
That's good.
Can't pick the habit, so to speak, now have a resource to go to help them eliminate that gambling problem. So
mm-hmm.
from my perspective, like I'm saying, there's more upside to gambling than there is downside.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Hmm.
How is it in Seattle, in the Washington area? Are there casinos? Are they on the Indian reservations? Is there legalized gambling?
No, they're everywhere.
Yeah, but your big ones are
on
the Indian reservation, like
yeah.
Muckleshoot, Emerald Queen,
mm-hmm.
and Tulalip up
yeah.
in Marysville.
Mm-hmm.
Those are our three. And Snoqualmie.
Snoqualmie's not on a reservation, though.
Oh, okay. So those are like
up
Indian.
On the mountain pass.
Oh, it's not on a reservation?
Uh-uh.
Okay. Well, those are the three biggest ones. And Muckleshoot, I think, is the biggest of all of them. It's the largest one.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, some of these two, I swear, Trump's
It doesn't matter what time. You could go at 3 o'clock in the morning. It's packed.
Oh, yeah.
Sure. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's
yeah,
packed.
Yeah.
I'm like, where is all this money? This is the problem I have. If people are losing their homes, they can't pay their rent, you know, and you work. What?
They're
how do you have
going.
Money to go up there and gamble when I can go on
going.
A bill
the
and I can pay?
The people who really go are the ones who can afford it. Now, the poor folk game is the lottery. They play, you know, the Powerball and that kind of thing.
Yeah, I
but
do.
You don't see
yeah.
people who really can't afford to lose in casinos. Indiana is second to Nevada as far as the number of casinos within a state. However,
whoa.
Oh yeah, yeah. There's about three ships, and if they have them on ships.
Yeah.
In Indiana,
I've heard about them being on ships.
Yeah,
yeah.
yeah there's four of them right outside of Chicago. There's three of them right outside of Cincinnati. And then
mm-hmm.
there's another one right outside of Louisville. And then the Indiana has what they call Rustinos, which are combination
mm.
racetracks and casinos. So Indiana mm-hmm. has its fair share of legalized gambling. And like I say, for the most part, it's really an upside to it because if they close those casinos, it would put a lot of people out of work. A
it
lot
sure would.
Of
yeah, it would.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because you think
the
of
crowd,
security,
say, you know,
not the people that work
in Beamers, Lexuses, you know. These are people who
oh,
have
yeah,
money
and
can afford
up.
To lose. You don't find anybody
yeah.
pulling up in a casino who can't afford to lose.
Mm-hmm.
Same goes for horse racing.
Yeah.
You know, it has
in order for you to win
crowd,
big at
you
horse racing, you've got to bet big.
I'm sorry?
Yeah, but you know what people
horse
do.
Horse racing is, now to me, the return on the dollar is lucrative. Like you can play a $2 bet.
Right.
True that and
mm-hmm.
win thousands.
And
mm-hmm.
thousands.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
But
you
can do
play,
that in Lotto too, spend
$1
too.
And win tens of thousands. You know. So it gives the poor man.
They have dog races in Oregon, so they can put a $2 bet on dog racing.
Yeah, dog racing. The newest mm-hmm. dog racing track in this area is West Virginia.
Okay.
And right outside of Memphis, West mm-hmm. Memphis, they have a dog track.
Mm-hmm.
I learned early and quick. That's not my game.
yeah.
The thing
yeah.
about horse racing is you can study. You know, you can study the horse. You can study the jockey. There's a lot of elements. It's like picking up a
doing research on them.
Well, it's like picking up, what is that, the Wall Street Journal. No, that's a form
mm-hmm.
of gambling.
Mm-hmm.
You can do the same thing with the Daily Report, well, racing form. They can tell you who's hot and who's not.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Very true.
Long shots in the Derby, I think, what was it, Man That Bird, 2 years
yeah.
ago, won the
mm-hmm.
Derby, paid off grand, you know,
yep.
for minimal amount of money. So, like I say, those who go to the casinos, who like fast money can lose and can afford to lose and win, you know,
yeah.
fast money. That's more
fast
of their game.
Money.
But
mm-hmm.
now you find a more of a diverse crowd at the racetrack because
mm-hmm.
the getting in part is, you know, is that well on Derby, you're $40 in the hole before you even place a bet because that's how much it costs to get in there.
That's
but,
right.
I mean, you can play at the off-track betting parlors. No, there's more of a diverse crowd. They have what's called the Church of Downs Millionaires Row. And then you have
mm-hmm.
people who go to the infield. You know, that's where the less affluent people are. But there's more of a diverse crowd in horse racing. And you don't lose your money as fast because it's like 15 minutes between races.
Mm, yeah.
In a casino, mm-hmm. you can get on a losing streak, and it can last for a couple hours.
Yeah.
So,
a couple
I'm
hours,
very
you can go to 100.
On gambling. Not that I'm a big time winner, but neither am I a big time loser because I know when to walk away.
Amen.
There you go. That's what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
Go there with a set amount. If you lose it, oh well, walk away.
Yeah.
That's
and
yeah.
if you win, walk away.
Mm-hmm.
Don't give it back to the casino.
Right. It's quit while you're ahead. Well, yeah, quit while you're ahead, but you'll be back the next day.
yeah. But they won't be on you then because you're out of there to this, you know, play back
oh, yeah.
to back
you can go
like
home
that. You will lose your money.
You know, pay that and then what's left, come back and throw
yeah.
that away if you want.
Yep.
Know.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. But, yeah, it has put me in a hole, and it has taken me from a hole.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now, my question is, what is your opinion on online gaming? Because, to my knowledge, there are no laws or rules that govern the online
mm-hmm.
gaming industry. And that
I'm all for that, too.
Really?
Yeah, I'm on for online gaming, too. It's a little bit more riskier because anyone can create a gambling site. And
true that.
And you can be taken just like, you know, a hustle. You give up your credit card number, you establish an account. You know, they have access to your account. That's a little bit more riskier. But
yep.
there are legal, like in Bally's out there in Las Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
You can go online and bet on fights, ball games, you know, whatever. Political outcomes, you know, races for example, the presidency or for the whatever, a senator or whatever. There's legalized gambling, more legalized gambling online than there is in casinos because people don't have to leave their house. It's 24/7.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Because I was realized, I wasn't realizing, just reading up, it's a $15 billion industry, and so
sure.
far it's got like over 40 million users as of right now. 58% are male players,
oh, yeah,
and 42% are female players.
It's hot. Mm-hmm.
40 million users, and they make over 15 billion, you stated?
Yep, yearly.
Yeah.
Yearly.
Well, that's I want to say worse. That's greater than, like you said, the people going to the casino, because
mm-hmm.
you ain't getting 40 million people
and
in casinos.
And they don't have to leave their house to do it either.
No, you
don't
have to leave home. You
know,
you can do it 24/7.
Do it right there on your computer, yeah.
You could have a dream. Like,
mm-hmm.
for example, the dream book. You might have a dream, wake up in the middle of the night, say, hey, you know, this
yep.
is my number. Let me go play this, you know.
Yeah, mm-hmm. right on the computer.
Fine, yeah. And
have to go
you know, like, I'm in a rural area. I'm really out. I'm about an hour outside of Indianapolis now. But what's convenient is I'm between Indianapolis, Louisville, and Cincinnati. So I can go to a casino in 40 minutes driving in any direction.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the perks about being kind of in the middle of the tri-state area is because you have access to all the kind of opportunities that casinos provide and racetracks as well.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because you're not far from the Kentucky Derby, are you?
Well, it's Churchill Downs. Yeah, the Derby is held one.
Churchill Downs.
But it's called Churchill Downs, yeah.
Oh, Churchill Downs, yeah.
Yeah, Churchill Downs is the track. The Derby mm-hmm. is always the first Saturday in May.
The event, okay.
And
so Churchill Downs, you're not far from that either, are you?
What, Churchill Downs?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, about 45 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. See, now that's another thing. So you look at the casinos on land, I guess you could say, and go there compared to the online gambling. But at least if you're at a casino in person, you're guaranteed your money. You're going to
mm-hmm.
see how much you're gambling. You know how much you're going to get back. But with online, it's either your debit card's on there or your credit card or however you use to
right.
gamble.
Mm-hmm.
There's no guarantee you're going to get your money back. There's no guarantee there's not going to be identity theft or someone's going to go to town on your credit card.
That's why you mean you said that it needs to be legalized online.
It is. The
yeah.
federal government, I agree with that, needs
mm-hmm.
to regulate that because at this time
I think they should regulate it because some of those online gambling sites are out of the country. They're in the Caribbean.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah,
those
I do know that.
You really have to be careful of.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, see, because a lot of it comes from Nigeria, from Puerto Rico, at least those are two countries that they're listing.
Mm-hmm.
But those
right.
are also two very high fraudulent countries when it comes to business.
Right. And those tax dollars, they're losing tax dollars that way, too, the U.S.
Yes.
You know,
we want to keep the money here.
You're not required to file that kind of money because there's no record of it. But at
mm-hmm.
least if they legalized it and had regulations, then you can be more trusting of the on-site, online gambling, and also
mm-hmm.
be contributing your fair share of taxes when you hit.
Mm-hmm.
But gambling has been around a long time. I mean, very long time. I guess gambling
yeah.
and prostitution are probably the oldest profession.
Yeah.
There is.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. You can see people gambling on the corners, rolling dice.
Yeah.
Done that too.
Jesus, damn it. Throw a guy's dice up against the curb.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say, when I come up, yeah. My brothers, yeah.
You pitching pennies and quarters in high school, you know. It's gambling. There's no way to stop it, so you might as well legalize it.
No, exactly. There is no
it
way
is,
to stop it.
No.
Because it's big business. It's big business. It's making billions.
That's gambling on games. What is it, the Super Bowl? Isn't that one of the biggest?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's the one
Super Bowl,
game that
that's probably the biggest
on.
Gambling.
Yep.
Yeah.
And they look the other way.
Even grandma be trying to put a couple of dollars down on Super Bowl.
Then I run into people I be playing with and betting on. They don't even want to pay up. I said, oh, you ready to get killed then? No, I'm just kidding. I was, yeah, gambling is a big responsibility, I would say.
Yeah.
Got to be ready. It can get very dangerous.
Well, then I have a question. Then what is considered compulsive gambling to, like me, I'm not a real gambler. I live by one of the biggest casinos in Washington State, and a lot of people have asked me, well, how can you live up there? And, you know, you don't gamble. And I'm like, well, I can take $20 and go up to Muckleshoot and
that's
gamble. And as soon as
and
I
that's
lose
my
that
limit.
$20,
mm-hmm. right.
then I keep pushing. Now, I like to go up there to listen to the bands or have drinks.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, if I go up there four times in a month or once in a month, every other month, I mean, what is considered to be compulsive?
My uncle years ago, when I was a kid, told me compulsive gambling is when you ride every streak until it ends.
Okay.
You keep gambling until you win. You keep gambling until you lose.
Okay.
Wow.
That's compulsive gambling.
So that's pretty much what an addictive gambler does.
Right. Right.
Okay.
But is that just based off of casinos, or is that the lotto, or every time something's going on, I bet that plane's going to land before this one. I bet you I'll make that light before you do. I mean, is it the whole realm of gambling? Is everything you touch and say about gambling?
Well, who becomes a compulsive gambler? It can be a male or a female, young, middle-aged, old, wealthy, poor, white, or people of color. So let me say this. Recently, the National Opinion Research Center at the University of Chicago, their study completed first-year national U.S. survey on problem gambling prevalence. The study found that young adults, ethnic minorities, and people with little education were slightly more likely to have serious gambling problems, but the differences were not very large.
Okay, let me ask.
Which brings
now,
us
who is
to
more
about
likely to gamble? Those who are looking for wealth or riches are those who don't need it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, what about adolescent gambling? That's another topic. Huh?
Sorry?
What about adolescent gambling? Because you got young people, like you say, you were in high school. What about these young folks gambling? Do they understand what they're doing? I imagine some of them, because they say some kids count.
Yeah.
What is it, count cards or play blackjack
or
something?
Yeah.
The little geeks.
I grew up in horse racing country. You know, we used to get jobs at the track. Even though we were too young to wager, we had jobs as grooms, you know, stable boys and that kind of. And we could always get someone to place a bet for us.
Mm-hmm.
Now, pitching pennies, now that may look like a trivial game, but that's only what you see. And what the tossing maybe might be $10 per penny, you know.
Yeah.
So when you break up someone pitching pennies and confiscate what little coinage is there, they might be walking away with a couple of $100 in their pocket already.
Yeah.
So when you're saying should there be an age to gambling, I don't think you can control that either. Most people have their favorite game. Kids are too young to walk into a casino, but they might go online and wager on ball games, you know?
Now, see, and there's a problem, because whose credit card are they using?
Mm-hmm.
Well, some kids have credit cards. You know, you can get these little cards at the payday loan places and fill them with a certain amount of money.
Mm-hmm.
And with that, you can open up an account online.
Mm-hmm.
Can it get any easier?
Can
it get any easier?
It's just too easy to burn money.
Yeah. Did that answer your question, Chop?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So
I want to know.
Do you see gambling as a negative or a positive, you know?
I guess You know, I don't see it as a, I guess I don't see either or. You know, I think it's just a personal choice. Some people feel they can read the card. Some people think they can predict how the machines are going to hit. I mean, I guess it's just, if you got the money to burn it, do you. But if you're using it as a way to make money to for survival, then, yeah, that's a problem.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, if you're looking to, if you're looking to make a living at it, you better have a pretty large amount of money that you can afford to lose. If you're looking
disposable
at
income.
Make rent, mm-hmm. pay the light bill, if you're looking at it to, you know, put food on the table, then you're really taking a risk.
Yeah, just like with those professional poker players.
Yeah, yeah. Those guys, they
and
got,
they're
you
going.
Know, in order
they
to go to a professional game, you know, go out to Las Vegas, it's going to require airfare.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if, you, if you're a big-time gambler, you have the resources.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you don't have the resources, you're not going to be out there playing in those tournaments anyway.
Yeah, because you're going to be out in 5 minutes anyway. Because one hand and you're done, you know.
But it's people, well, don't forget about the slot machines now.
Yeah.
Them bandits that kick people,
they
used to have them at quarters.
Yeah.
Now they're all the way down to penny machines,
yeah.
penny slots. We used to didn't have penny slots, just started here about 3 years.
And the nickel
only
slots
three
came
years.
Out too, didn't they?
Well, no, we had the nickels. We had the quarter dimes and nickels.
Okay.
But the penny slots, it's just been 3 years. It hasn't been that long here in Washington.
Wow, okay.
And now they're paying big money, the penny slots.
Mm. Yeah, you see the silver-haired grandmothers at the casinos with the one-armed bandits, you know.
Yeah, they sit there all day. Well, you can't
all
with them
day,
quarters.
Yeah.
But
and
I don't even think they have dimes anymore. It's quarters, nickels, and pennies.
Yeah. Oh, honey, I just
they only have dimes. Quarters, nickels, and pennies.
You know how you have old ladies in the casinos, you know, kind of like hustling you to play certain machines.
Yeah.
Oh, I just saw somebody.
Because they only play one certain
on
machine.
Yesterday. That's a hot machine, and there you are, yo. On that
machine.
I personally don't like slot machines. I mean, I don't knock it. But you got to sweat or wear a number for my money.
I don't understand the other part. I mean, I understand a little bit about blackjack, but I even got on that. What's the table, the thing, the ball spins in there?
Roulette.
Roulette, and I don't even understand that. Lost my $20 so fast, for I blinked out. The lady was like, thank you.
Yeah. That's right. You can lose
you can bet on the
fast.
Color, and you can bet on the number, you can bet on the even and odd.
I played blackjack
black
and lost my $20 in 5 minutes.
And if the ball lands on black and it's an odd number, you win. Or you can go for a specific number. You know, if you really
listen to
know.
The professor.
You really got it. For example, if I woke up and all of a sudden, say, the number 14 I'm attracted to the number 14 for some reason or another. I may go out and play 14, red and black. You know, that's how they play the roulette.
Oh, okay.
So it's more on a gut feeling?
You play it, you can lose a lot real fast, but you can spread your money around. You can do red and black, odd and even, specific numbers, and that kind
of. Oh, okay. So in one spin, you got more than one chance to win.
Oh, yeah, because you can,
you
can play it different ways. But
so what's, then what table game is guaranteed money?
Well, there's no guarantee.
Or do you have the highest? Well, I mean, more winnings, I guess.
Better chance. I would say
better
blackjack.
Chances, that's it.
The horse racing is my favorite because I can place $6 down and win $600. You know, not every time, but I mean, you more than likely you will at least win your $6 back plus. To me, that's the better gamble. Because
and how many races do you have in one day? What, seven?
I have ten.
Ten
at
races.
Churchill Downs.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So you got 10 good chances to win in horse racing.
Well, yeah, you can play every race. I don't play every race, but I mean you can. I like the Exacta, the Daily Double, the Trifecta. They have what's called the Pick Six, the Superfecta. Pick Six, you can pick six straight race winners. You're winning hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Wow.
If you're playing Superfecta, you're winning, you know, maybe close to $500,000. But who can pick that many winners? If you can pick that many winners, you can play, you know, $20 a race and come out real well. But to actually pick six winners in a row, that's tough.
That is time. Yeah, those odds are high.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but to pick the winner and the horse to come second, there's better odds in doing that than trying to pick six winners for the day.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now, do your horses run all year long in Indiana, or is it just seasonal? I don't know much about horses.
In Kentucky, it's all year round. Like, you know, Churchill Downs, or where the Derby is, just closed on the 4th of July. And it moves from Louisville, Churchill Downs, to a town called Henderson, which is in the extreme western part of the state, at Ellis Park. Then they have maybe a 3 or 4 month, what they call season. Then that track closes, and then the horses go to Keeneland, which is in Lexington, Kentucky. And they have a 3 month season. And then when that season is over there, they move to Turfway, which is right outside of Cincinnati. They have a 3 or 4 month season, and then it comes back to Louisville. So yeah, it's all year round.
Well, now in your area, Trumps, do you see what the way economy is, gambling has increased or decreased?
It's decreased. Yeah, a lot of people who used to go to the track regularly or go to the casino regularly aren't there as regularly as they used to be.
Mm-hmm.
You find mostly those who go there now are retired or well-to-do.
Mm-hmm.
And then people go on payday. The working man, the poor man, goes on a payday. But
okay,
if you got money, you can go any day.
Mm. So this recession just have affected everybody and everything.
Well,
now,
yeah.
The attendance is down. Now, you'd be surprised that Churchill Downs, they went to night racing.
Mm-hmm.
And the crowd is picked up because people work during the day.
Oh, okay.
So they have racing on Thursday night racing.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's when they have the largest crowd because people are at home and more likely to go out and, you know, bet a few dollars. And you have a good time. I mean, there's great food. They even have what they call night at the Downs. For example, my mother is as an AKA. The AKA has a night at the Downs where they might have a featured race for all AKA sorors, you know. And then it might be a Kappa Alpha Psi night at the Downs, you know, and all of their fraternity brothers come in and, you know, have a good time. So it's
a
gathering as well as gambling. You can go out to the track and not wager a thing. But you get tips, you know. Somebody will say, hey, look for this particular horse tomorrow, or this particular jockey's real hot, you know. And you just pick up little things like that, then you might go out there on an evening with maybe $50, you know, and play these little tips that you've gotten. So you don't have to go out there just to wager. I mean, that's the primary idea, but it's a social gathering as well. They have entertainment.
I have to ask Trump, what is the ratio of crime since casino? Well, I am not going to say horse racing because that's been going on for years in your area, but since the casinos have opened, have you seen any difference in crime? Has it went up or went down?
Well, in Indiana, all of the casinos are on ships, so you have a more secure surrounding. You know,
okay.
Like you're walking into a casino on the street, you step out, and on your way to your car, you get robbed.
And
then the best thing to do is if you hit large, is to have the casino send you a check. You know, maybe take a few dollars to have a good time on, but have them mail you a check.
Mail you a check, yep.
That way you don't stand the risk of being
robbed. You don't have
to
worry about your getting robbed and getting your money taken.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And that makes sense. That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, our casinos, we had one on the boat, Emerald Queen, and then they decided to become landmass, so they're no longer on the boat. So everything now, you walk right out of the casino to your car.
Right. See, at the track, when you leave the track, there's people that are leaving the track. There's more safety in numbers. You leave the track, there might be a couple of hundred people leaving at the same time you're leaving. So there's a little bit more secure in that. Whereas if you go into Las Vegas, and you walk out on that strip, first thing, the girls are going to be on you, you know?
Yeah. That's what I heard. I've never been to Vegas, but that's what I heard.
So, casino, I mean, at least on a ship, the security is higher, and there's more monitoring of when you leave the boat. When you leave the boat, you're going directly into the parking lot, or you might take a shuttle to the parking lot. So there's a little bit more security than just walking out on the street.
Mm-hmm. That's wild.
That's very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it is. Oh, yeah. This has really been an excellent discussion tonight. It's interesting to hear from another part of the United States, how they deal with it, because I have my kind of negatives about it, and I guess part of it is the crime aspect of it,
mm-hmm.
and people that don't have money going to these gambling houses all the time. It can't be that many. I mean, I know our state generates millionaires because of Microsoft, but it's not that many people that three shifts any time that you go up there is packed.
Mm-hmm.
There's people up there ain't got no business in there, I'm sure.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you know, you grow and you make your own decisions.
Yeah.
And granted, it generates revenue for our state.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I guess the number one is about revenue.
Well, see,
and
now
jobs.
That's my question.
I mean, you're thinking about the number.
Oh, yeah, and the jobs, too. Like you said, it generates jobs. But
yeah, it generates a lot of jobs.
Yeah.
Restaurant, you know, chefs,
mm-hmm.
you know,
yeah.
bus boys. You know, a lot of people rely on the casinos for employment.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
What
yeah,
was your question,
true.
John? Well, my question is, if we're in such a recession, not so much the casinos, but how does the lottery stay in session? How is the lottery able to give millions and millions of dollars away to citizens?
Because people like us is pouring it in,
buying
those
tickets.
Yep.
Yeah, scratch off. You know, you scratch
yeah.
off $5, $10. You know, you might hit, you might make 50. You know, but there that's not making $50. You know, those $5 and $10 add up.
See? And people be buying $200 or $300 worth of tickets at one pop.
Yeah,
you know, I got a guy at work that he'll drop $100 on a lotto.
Yeah.
When I was working,
it gets big to $200,
like,
yeah, he drops $100.
You heard about people who form these groups and they all pitch in and
we've done it at work.
Yeah, that's very popular too.
That big Starbucks pop was right here out of Seattle.
Wow,
Yep.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun if you keep it under control.
Yeah,
it's not a lot of fun when you don't have it under control. You know.
Mm-hmm.
Because then you're always trying to catch up, or you're always trying to make up. You know.
Yeah.
But
that catch up and make up. Yep.
Not gonna work.
If you're trying to go day after day to make up what you lost the previous days, then you always find yourself in the hole. You might
hear you'll never get out. That's why I said I tell people, you will never beat the house.
Mm-hmm.
Never, ever, ever.
Right.
That ain't going to happen. They'll give you just enough to bring your happy ass back.
And
their happy ass
do
come back.
You know, you got 3 months to blow money. And then in fact, the races move somewhere other part of the state. There are a lot of people who are employed by the racetrack. You know, cashier, you know, people who selling tickets, who cash tickets, who clean up the place. I know the day after the Derby, the track pays scout troops and civic organizations to come out and clean up, you know, have it ready for the next race in 48 hours.
Yeah.
Wow.
Something else.
It is.
Something else. Well, I will say this, listening audience, I have been awakened
by
things that I wasn't aware of with gambling, and it is, like you said, maybe more positive than the negatives for the fact that not only the revenue, the jobs, the hotels, and all that. So, and I thank you, Trump, for calling in, educating us, because that was quite interesting. It made me look at it in a different view.
If you have a gambling problem compared to the number of people tied to the business, you'll find that those who have a problem are a small percentage.
Mm-hmm.
When you take into account all of the people who rely on the gambling for jobs and employment.
Okay. Okay. Well, I want to tell everybody next Sunday, the music is starting. It's about that time, y'all. Next Sunday, our show will be summer fun. And I mean summer fun. So anything that you can think of, you want to talk about during the summer that makes you happy, makes you glad, or joyful, call in. Maybe it's a
barbecue, going on vacation. Maybe you come back from vacation. But anyway, call in and let's just have a nice, good family show. Notice I said family.
Yes, I noticed that. Barbecue, macaroni and cheese, you know, y'all, you know.
Yeah. There you go, a little something, something, a little something. Well, anyway, I'm going to give it to Bernice to say good night. Go ahead.
Good night, everyone.
And Ms. Davinay, our producer.
Have a good evening, everyone.
And I thank you again, listening audience, for calling and talking to me. This is Lena, and we're out.